Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi David Grossman. Meseches Bava Metzia has been dedicated by Rabbi and Mrs. Chaim Shlomo Metz. Le'ilei Nishmas Shmar Yehu Ben Chaim.
Today's daf will be Daf Tzadik Tes, and we'll start from the Mishnah on yesterday's daf at the end of Daf Tzadik Chesam and Beis. The Mishnah says, "Hashoyel Sapar V'Sholchalo Biyad Binoy Biyad Avdi Biyad Shlucha." If somebody wants to borrow a parah, so the mashiel, the owner, sends the para to the shoyel, either with the mashiel's shliach, the owner sends his own messenger, or the shoyel sends a messenger to receive the para. In both of those cases, if it's his own son, or his eved, or shliach, both those cases, the she'elo, the kinyan, the arrangement of she'elah, does not begin until it comes to the hand of the actual borrower. And the fact that the shliach, or eved, or the son of the mashil, or the shoyel, that they received it, does not start the she'elah. Therefore, if something happens on the way, the shoyel is not yet chayiv. And Rashi brings us to the Gemara in Hagoizel Kaman, Bava Kaman, Daft Kuf Dalet Amad Aleph, where there's a machloikis. The machlekes is referred to in the Gemara as shliach shaso be'edim. If a person makes a shliach an edim, with edim, does that create a matziv where the maisa, the action of the shliach, will be considered like the action of the meshaleach, of the person there? We're talking about actually a case where Reuven owes Shimon money, and Shimon makes a messenger with Edim to go receive the money from Reuven, and Reuven gives the money to the shliach. So there's machloikis if that shlichus would be considered like he repaid the loan already, or do we say that only when it comes actually to the hand of the malva, to the hand of the lender, that's when it's considered to be paid? There's a machlokes there if it's considered a shlichus or not. So Rashi says that there's basically two ways to understand our Gemara. Here we're saying that the shliach is not considered a shliach to initiate and to start the she'ela. So Rashi says, depending on how you learn over there, the other Gemara says that if there's edim, then it would start. So here it says Rashi must be talking about where there's no edim, similar to the way the Gemara answers it over there. The Gemara asks this question: How does our Mishnah reconcile with that machlokes? So according to the one who says that whenever you make a shliach with edim, that shlichus does help to initiate or to pay back the loan, or in this case it would be to initiate the she'elah. So it must be we're talking about without edim, and that's why it doesn't start. And according to the one that says that even without it, that even with edim it wouldn't start, so there we can say that in our case it's because it's not spoken out clearly that we'd like it to start. You just sent the shoyel, but there was no conversation, there was no agreement that the shoyel is going to start, that this person should be considered a shliach to start the actual she'elah, to start the relationship. And since it wasn't spoken out, that's why it doesn't start. The Gemara continues, the Mishnah continues, and says that if Sholcha, if he says, Omar le Yeshoyel, the Shoyel calls up the Mashiel and says, I'd like to borrow your para, please send it with your son, with your Eved Kenani, like the Gemara explains, or with your Shliach. Or another case would be if the borrower says, I am sending you my son, I am sending you my Eved, please give it to them, says the Gemara. In that case, it starts as soon as the shliach gets it, since there was a conversation, there was an agreement that I'm sending you my messenger, a shliach kabbalah, or send it with your messenger, right away the she'elah would start. And the Gemara jumps on the Mishnah, and the Gemara asks, why if I send it biyad avdoi, it says that if the she'elah says send it with your Evan, with the Mashal's Evan, in other words, the Mashal himself is giving it to his own, the owner gives it to his own Evan Kenaini, and says, and the Shoyal calls him up and says, give it to your Evan Kenaini and send it to me, and I'd like to borrow your para. So as soon as it comes to the owner's Evan Kenaini, right away, there's a start to the relationship of Shoyal. In fact, the Gemara asks, how could it be that the Eved of the owner would be considered like as if it's leaving the Rishus of the owner and going to the Rishus of the Shoyal of the borrower? We know there's a concept throughout Shas of Yad Eved Ki Yad Raboy. The hand of the Eved Kenaini is a continuation and is an extension of the hand of the mashal of the owner. So how, by giving it over to his own Eved, can that initiate a She'ela? So the Gemara says it's talking about the Eved Ivri. Now the question is, we have to understand where this concept of Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabbi comes from. There's a famous Ksoiz HaChoshen, Ksoiz HaChoshen in Simen Tovchov Dalet. He explains, how does it work, this halacha of Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabbi? Where does it come from? So there's two ways to understand it. The Ksoiz HaChoshen will say over the Poshet Atzad, is very similar to a shliach, just like we know the shliach shel adam kemoisoi. So also yad poel kiyad balbayis. When I hire somebody, yad eved kiyad rabbi. When I hire somebody, we had this gemara back in the beginning of the Masechet and Daf Yud Amud Aleph, that there we were talking about the halacha of toivus v'alchayv b'makom shechav l'achayv, where there's something that's up for grabs. And the halacha is that a person cannot pick up a metziah or grab a pick up be mezaka something for somebody else at the expense of others. So if let's say Reuven owes Shimon and Levi money, so Reuven owes Shimon $100 and Levi $100, and Levi's friend sees that Reuven has $100 laying around, and he wants to take it, be mezaket for Reuven, for Levi, for his friend. So the halacha is that a toivus v'alchayv b'makom shechav l'acherim is not koine, and therefore you cannot. The Levi's friend cannot be mezaket for Levi at the expense of Shimon, because Shimon also has a right to this money. So there, the Gemara says that. Usually, a toifes l'balchoyv, if somebody grabs for his friend the balchoyv, b'makom shechav l'acherim, in a case where it's going to be at the expense of another person who Reuven owes money to, so it's not chal, it doesn't work. But says the Gemara, poil shiny, poil would be different because there's a locha of yad poil ki yad balabayis, that there's a very special locha, even though, yes, there's a din of shliach shalom k'moysay, there is a halacha of shluach shalom k'moysay, that whenever I send a messenger to do it, to do something, it's as if I've done it. But we see in many cases that the level of poil, when you hire somebody, that's even greater. Actually, if we remember in two blad ago, in the earlier in Parakas Shoyal, with regards to Ba'ol of Imoy, the Gemara on the bottom of the Tzadik Hey Omer Aleph tells us that, I'm sorry, Tzadik Vav Omer Aleph tells us that the Gemara has many different questions about Ba'ol of Imoy. One of the questions is, If the shliach or the eved of the bailim is working for the shoyal at the time of the sheila, would that also constitute a halacha of ba'al of imay? We know if the owner is working, then there's a ptur of ba'al of imay. What happens if the owner's eved is working? So Gemara says that we can ask this question according to the man yomar shliach shalom kamaisai. We can ask this question according to the man yomar. Shliach she'odom lav kamoisa. Why? Because even though yes, that man the Amar says the shliach of somebody is not kamoisa, that's only a regular shliach. But when you have a poyel, a worker, he has a higher level because of this din of yad eved ki yad rabbi. Yad eved ki yad rabbi gives him a higher level of shlichas than a regular shliach, and it's based on this that the Machane Ephraim and Hilchos Shluchim wants to say a very important yisoid, and the Nesivus brings it down. Also in Hilchos Shluchim, the Nesivus brings it down in Simen Kuf Peches, and that chiddush is as follows. We know that by an Akum, by an Eni Yehudi, there's a halacha that ain shlichus la'akum. You cannot send a shliach, you cannot send an Akum to be your shliach. Yet the Machane Ephraim says that if a person has a mitzvah of Maiko, person has an obligation to make a fence around his roof. Asisa Michael Gagecho says the Truma Sadeh, says the Machne Ephraim, that a person can hire a non-Jewish construction company to put a mica upon his roof, even though we know there's a mitzvah of Asisa mica. Really, he has to do it himself, right? Mitzvah by Yosef Shlucha, he has a mitzvah to put the mica on. It's his obligation, but he can send. He can hire a non-Jewish company to do it, and he's still kind of the halacha of Asisa Michael Gagecho. Says about, explains the series and the Machan Ephraim as well, that the reason for this is because we don't, by Michael, we don't necessarily need the chalois. We don't need, like by Gittin and Kedushin, we need the person himself to make the Kedushin. By Michael, the concept is more that it has to, you have to arrange it. Of course, you're the one who has to do it, but it has to get done. That's the main criteria, is that the Michael should be there, that it should be Shalayipal Anoifel. There shouldn't be a problem that somebody should fall from the roof. So you have to arrange and make sure that it's there. Says the Nesivus that when you hire when you hire somebody, there's a concept of Yad Poil Kiyad Balabayas, Yad Evid Kiyad Rabbi, that this halacha tells us that it's not regular shlichas the way we'd say ain't shlichas la'akum. Here, by a poil, when you hire somebody, it's an elevated connection. There's a halacha that his yad is exactly your yad. It's totally your yad. It's not like he's doing it for you and it's considered yours. His yad is your yad, and is your hand itself, and therefore you're allowed to do it even like the Yaakov, and it would work. And the Nesivus also explains that the Kinyan Hakbal can work in the same fashion. If you have to lift something up and it's heavy to make a Kinyan, or even if it's not heavy, you can hire your poil to lift it for you, and that would constitute a Kinyan, because the Kinyan Hakbal, says the Nesivus also over there in Reish Peches, in Kuf Peches, Simon Kuf Peches, he says that a person, the Kinyan Hakbal is not done with the Maisa, the action of Hakbal. It has to be lifted through your efforts, through your direction, because of you. And since it has to be lifted because of you, if you hire somebody to do it, that also gives the same halacha, that it's considered that it's lifted because of you, and therefore, even though in shlichas la'akum, but it would work, the shlichas would work when it's a poil. So we have this concept that a poil is greater, has a greater connection, a greater, his maisa is much more, it's further recognized to be your maisa than a regular shliach, and therefore that's the halacha of Yad Poel Ki Yad Balabais. Now the Ktsoiz HaChoshen explains in Simon Tov Chov Dalet a very interesting thing. He says that we know there's a halacha of Yad Poel Ki Yad Balabais, the Masha Kona Eved Kona Rabbi, whatever Eved is Kona, is Rabbi is Kona. So he says the Ktsoiz HaChoshen, he explains that it has to do with the halacha of Chavolo. If a person is Chovel, his Eved, does he have to pay him for Chavolo? And the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Shimon Tov Chov Dalet that since Mashakoni Eved Kona Rabbi, so therefore you don't have to pay your Eved for Chavola. The Ktsoiz HaChoshen explains that the way Mashakoni Eved Kona Rabbi works is that whenever the Eved picks something up, he lifts something, let's say there's a Metzia, there's a watch on the floor that's lost, there's no Simon, so if he picks it up, he's your Eved, and he has a mind to be koined, he's koined for you. The Rav is the one that owns it because of Mashakoni or Eved Kona Rabbi. So how does it work? Says the Ktsoiz HaChoshen. It doesn't work directly that it becomes yours. It really first it becomes the Eved. The Eved has a yad to be koined, but whatever his yad is koined, that transfers and translates into a kinyan for you. It's not a one shot deal that his hakbah works for you. His hakbah works for himself. And when his Agbo works himself, the halacha of Masha Kona Eved Kona Rabbi would revert and would further this chayvetz, would put it beyond the owner, and the owner would be the one that would acquire it from the Eved that acquired it from the floor, from the street. So the Sefer Dvar HaMelech on this daf, on the Tzadik Tess Amin Aleph, asks the following question on the Ktsois. According to the Ktsois that we mentioned in Simen Tov Chof Dalet, that says that really it's a two-step process. The Eved has a Yad to be Koine. He's able to be Koine for himself, really, but the Halacha, Mashkona Eved Kona Rabbi, makes it that everything is kind and goes to the owner. So what is the Gemara's question by in today's daf on daf tzadik tes? That how can you say that if the mashal, the owner, when he's sending, when he's listening to the instructions of the shoyel, and the shoyel said, send it with your eved. So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, that once he gives it to his own eved, it will become in the rishos of the shoyel, and the shoyel will already be chayev ba'achri yusoy, because of the halacha of Yad. Ask the Gemara, how can that be Yad Eved Kiyad Rabboi? So asks the Dvar HaMelech, that why is that a question? According to Tzoyis, it comes out like a very clear halacha. The halacha is that Mashakanish Eved Kana Rabbi works in two steps. Really, the Eved is able to be Kaina, but whatever he's Kaina for himself, he's able to be Makna to the Rabbi. Automatically, it goes to his Rab. But since it's a two-step process, so what's wrong if I give this para to my Eved to give it to bring to the shoyel? He has his own yad. So what's the problem of the Gemara that since Mashakana yad Eved ki yad Rabbi, why would that not enable the mashal, the owner, to give it to the Eved's yad, and that yad should start the she'ela, should start the relationship of the she'ela? So the Dvar HaMelech says a very big yisoy, that there's really two concepts over here, and the Tzoyis HaKhoshen is talking about one concept, our Gemara really means a different concept, the Gansan. If we medayik, sometimes in Shas, it says the words Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabboi, and sometimes it says the words Masha Kono Eved Kono Rabboi. So says the Dvar HaMelech that these two concepts are really two separate concepts, and one doesn't have to do with the other. In concept number one, Masha Kono Eved Kono Rabboi, that's where the Ksoi says his famous halacha, that it's a two-step process. The Eved's walking down the street, and he sees a watch, he picks it up to be Koina. So yes, he himself is Koina, but not only that, he's Koina, he's Makne, it goes from him back to his owner, Mashakona Eved Kona Rabbi, and that's a two-step process. But the halacha of Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi is not where the Eved's trying to be Koina something. The Eved's hand really also, in certain ways, has the halacha of the Rab's hands. In other words, here the Gemara is trying to say that the mashil, the owner, is trying to remove this para in certain aspects from his own rishus and put it into the rishus of the shoyel. So there the Gemara says that, no, you cannot take something from yourself to give to your Eved, because your Eved's hand is an extension of your hand. When he's being kind from somebody else, there the Tzoyis says a two-step process. When I have something I'm trying to get out of my rishus, to remove it from my rishus, so there, the halach of Yad Eved Kiyad Rabboi rejects that ability and blocks that ability for me to give something to somebody else through my Eved, because my Eved is my own hand. So just like I can't give from one hand to the other, I can't give it to somebody else through the Shechiyah of the Eved. So really, the Tzoyis really could shtim with this Gemara, because it's really two separate concepts, and that's why it's very understandable, this halacha of Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi, this Kash the Gemara, which the Gemara answers that we're talking about an Eved Ivri, and that's why he has his own hand, he's not an Eved Kenaini, and that's where the Gemara says that a person could start a She'ela by giving it to his own Eved. So that's with regards to the first part of the Mishnah and the Gemara, the beginning of the Gemara. Now the Gemara has a second case, which makes the shoyel chayv right away, and that is Omar lo yashoyel. The shoyel contacts the mashal and says, "Sholcho li biad bincho, biad avdecho, biad shluchacho. Send it to me. Send me the para by asking your son or your eved kenaini or your shliach." Or the other way around, the shoyel says, "I'll send my son, my eved, or my shliach." There, says the Gemara, if the Shoel communicates with the Mashal and says, send it either with your with somebody from your team, so to speak, or I'll send you somebody from my team, give it to him, and that should be the start of the Sheela, so it would work. So the Rishonim, there's a Machlokes is Rishonim. How does that work? How does it work when the Mashal sends the Parah using one of his Shluchim? In other words, the Shoyel contacts the Mashal and says, send it through your agent. So here, this person is not an agent of the Shoyel. He's not a Shliach or an Eved or the son of the Shoyel. And the Shoyel who's borrowing is really generating this whole, the start of this relationship. He never was Mimaneh. He never made that person into a Shliach. He just calls the Mashal and tells the Mashal, you make a Shliach, you send it through your Eved or your Ben, and yet it works. So there's a Machlokes who's showing him exactly how it works. The Nemuka Yosef brings down one pshat is, the way it works is, because even though he didn't, even though the Shoyel never made this person into a Shliach, but since I'll read you the Loshen is, Mikomokim Nischayv Shoyel, Mishum Shoyel Lahem, Hamashil, Ploini Omar Li Lahashil, the Mashil, the owner, tells the Shliach that the Shoyel instructed me to lend him the parah through using you as a shliach. V'heim kibloi, some of these people, the ben, the son of the mashil, or the eved of the mashil, they accept this agency, they accept this responsibility. Says the first pshat in the Rishonim, in the Nemuka Yosef, that it works within Tzchiyo, that since they know clearly that the shoyel would like them to accept the parah on his behalf, even though he never instructed them to pick it up, since the mashil tells this to the shlichim and says that the shoyel instructed me to ask you to be my shliach, so that would work with a din of schir. That a person could be zoiche, let's say this is something that's a total schos, a person finds an aveda and he finds something on the floor, a mitziah, and he picks it up and he has the intention, or he speaks out clearly that he would like to acquire this for a certain person. So even though that person never made him a shliach, they can acquire it because of a concept of zochen la'adam shleibafonav. Whenever you're doing something that's a total schus for the person, you don't need his permission, you don't need his rotzayin. There's an umdur of the mucha that definitely he would want it to happen, and therefore with the halacha of schia would work. So here also, since we know clearly that the shoyel wants the start of this relationship, he wants to lock in this loaner, and he doesn't want the owner to renege on his agreement to lend him this para. So even though he never made a shliach, with the halacha of schia, says the Ravid, it would work. Another sword that's brought down in the Rishonim, the second pshat in the Muki Yosef, is inami lami din shlichus. Enechanami, there's a problem here with the shlichus. The shoyel never made him into a shliach. So how could he be a shliach without the minui shlichus of the shoyel? Ela, how does it work? We din arev with the concept of arvus, the concept of a guarantor. Shekivon sha'om ale lahaitzi parosay mirshusay. Anybody who gets rid of or puts his money at risk through the inducement of, through the induction of another person, is chayev midin orev. So let me just expound on that a little bit, just to explain. There is a loch of arvus when a person borrows money because of the guarantee of a guarantor. So that guarantor, the orev, is responsible to pay back if the loive doesn't pay the malva back. If the borrower doesn't pay back, the lender can go to the Arev to get it back, and that works even bedibur, even just a, even if there's no kinyan. But if the Arev, the guarantor, calls up the Malva and says, go ahead and lend him money, I'm telling you, I'm going to cover it. So there's a concept of Bahi Ano, that since there's a Hano of the person listening, of the lender who's moisey moist, he's putting his money at risk, he's lending money solely on the word of the guarantor, that guarantor gets a pleasure, gets a nachas ruach, that he's considered a trustworthy individual. And by me merely telling the lender that I'll cover it, he's willing to put his money at risk and lend the money. So that gives him a pleasure. That pleasure is like a kinyan. It's like a kinyan kesef, and that works. So similarly, whenever I tell you, go ahead and be moitzi mois, based on what I'm about to say. In other words, if a person says, and whoever is mefarnet, the person has to leave town, the Gemara says, and he says, whoever supports my wife, I will pay him back. Or if a person says, go ahead and spend money, lend money, spend money, and I'll pay you back. Go buy me a certain thing, lay it out, and I'll pay you back. So obviously, that there you can be neg afterwards, because the mere fact that the person spent money, took his own money and put it at risk solely based on your voucher, on your vouch, you're vouching for this, for these monies. So that gives a pleasure, a nachas ruach, to the Orev, and the person would be chayev to pay back the Orev because of Moitzei Yitzchak Piv. Says the Nebuchadnezzar, it's the same thing over here. If I tell you, take your para and send it through a shliach that's either an akum or maybe a son that's maybe not even that's a katon. So if I say, go ahead and put that money at risk based on my words, there would be a chiyuv. There would be a chiyuv based on the fact that I told you to do it. So if it gets destroyed, I am taking responsibility. I am taking responsibility to pay back even something happens. So even though there's no concept of shmir because there's no shlichus, shlichus does not work. Because, like we said, he never made him into a shliach. But we did arvos, there would be an obligation. Now this is really toloi, these two pshatim could be toloi in what the halacha of arvos is. Where does arvos come, how does arvos work? So usually arvos is a case where I tell a lender, like we mentioned earlier, I tell a lender, lend him $100 and I'll pay you back. So there's two svaris and how this obligation plays itself out. How does this obligation become binding that the Arev has to pay back if the borrower doesn't pay back the lender? Some say it works basically when you lend something through my commitment. So it's as if I lend the money. Now this halacha would be is relevant to ribis, that if a person is not allowed to be an arev on a loan. We know that a person lends money with ribis is a isur d'oraisa of lasika neshach besarbis. You're not allowed to take. You're not allowed to lend with ribis, and a person does, he's over the isur of neshach. However, a person is allowed to borrow money from a goy, from an Yehudi. The Gemara Pasuk says clearly, "Ulenachri sashich." You are allowed to, for a nachri, you're allowed to take ribis or give ribis. Now, what's the halacha? If I'm an arev and I tell the goy that you lend this other yid money and I will pay you back if he doesn't pay back, so there the halacha is that would be considered ribis, even though the halacha is that to a nachri, from a nachri you're allowed to borrow with ribis, but you're not to be an arev to another yid through a nachri. Why is that? Based on what we just said, that when I induce somebody else to lend money and I give the guarantee, it's as if I'm fronting the money. He's just like an ATM machine. He's just like a bank. He's giving the money. I'm the one who's, through my word, he's lending the money. It's as if I lent the money directly to the yid, and therefore there would be a problem of ribis in the case of Orev. Orev to a bank loan, it's very, something very negative today. A person wants to be a co-signer or a guarantor to a bank loan, even though the bank loan is mutter, doesn't need a heter iska. But if there's a Jewish Orev, or even a car lease that could be negated to, if there's a Jewish Orev, that would be a problem because of what we just mentioned, that you can't be an Orev to a loan. So now, that's one logic of why an Orev is chayiv. Another logic is because, like we mentioned earlier, a few minutes ago, since I know that you are being Moitzi Mammon through my trust, that you're trusting me to cover if there's any problem, so that itself is mechayiv me to pay if you don't, because that the fact that I received hanah, that's like a pruta, I received value because I received that pleasure, the pleasure of your trusting me, and therefore it locks it in. And it, even if it's not considered as if I mamish gave you, lent you the money straight, but since I agreed to pay and I got the pruta in consideration of that agreement, so that would obligate me to pay. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is a very famous machlokes rishonim with regards to Zroi Gmon Aliyom. The classical case of Arvis is when I say, give the money to Reuven and I'll pay you back. So that's as if I gave the money straight to Reuven. It's as if I received the money, so to speak, because you gave it to money on my behalf. So it's as if I received the money. If I received money, I have to pay you back. But what's the aloha the other way around? Zroi Gmon Aliyom, where I tell you, don't give the money to another individual. Take the money and throw it in the sea. Take $100 and burn it, throw it in the sea, and I'll pay you back. So there you can't say it's as if I got the money, because no one got the money on my behalf. It's destroyed. So if the halacha of Arvis is only because it's as if I got the money by you giving the money through my word, as if you gave it me directly the money and I gave it to him, so then it wouldn't work by Zrek Manoliyam. But if it's because of the pleasure that you trusted me enough to pay you back, you threw it on my behest into the sea, you destroy the money based on my commitment, so I get that hanah, and I pledged that I will pay you that money back, so I'm obligated to pay you back, and you're chayiv even by Zrek Manoliyam. There's a machlokes rishonim in Kedushin, in the sugya of Arvis by Kedushin, the Ritva and others, machlokes, if Zrek Manoliyam, if I tell you throw this money into the sea and I'll pay you back, do I have an obligation to pay you back or not? So the Nesivas HaMishpot and Hilcha Shomrim says that is the exact machlokes that we're dealing with over here. When I tell you, put your parah at risk, and I will pay if anything happens, I'll start the shmir right away. So the second pshat in the Nehuka Yosef says it's because of the halacha of Orev, because he learns that Zrek Man Oliyam is also chayiv midin Orev, even though no one received the money, but since you put the money at risk on my behalf, so it's as if I'm committed to pay you for anything. So even though no one received the money, and it's not like I got the money, but I committed midin arvus to pay you if anything happens. So that's how the shmir starts in this case, midin arvus, because I told you send it through Shurabim, send it through my son, my Eved, even if they're not a bendas or they're not a bar chiyuvo, you send it to them. So mamela, that's why it would be chayev. And the other man, the other shita that says it has within shlichus, likely holds that zroik manoliyam is not enough of an obligation, does not mechayev the arev, and therefore in this case it would not be a din of arvus, because zroik manoliyam is not would not constitute an arvus, and therefore he would be potered because of arvus, and that's why the rishonim have to explain that it's within zchiyo, that it really does work with the halacha of shlichus. It's as if he sent it, even though the shoyl himself never instructed, never mimane the shliach to be a shliach in his place. But since there's a din of zchiyo, because we know clearly that the shoyl wants this to start, and he told us that he wants it to start, even though he didn't make him into a shliach, the mashil can make this person into a shliach, so to speak, through zchiyo, midin zchiyo, he become a shliach of the shoyl, and that's why the she'ela would start. The Gemara towards the bottom of Tzadik Tesim and Aleph brings down a memra from Rabbi Lazar, the Omer Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar said, "Kederech shetiknu meshicha belekuchais," just like there's the Takonas Chazal mentioned earlier in Perek Hazoho, that even though midoiraisa, when you want to buy metaltalin, mo'ois koinois. Really, you pay money and that's the kinyan. But we made it a kind of a mashicha because of a concept of shema nisrufu t'chitecho ba'aliyo. But there's a possibility that if the buyer pays the seller and the seller has both the merchandise and the money, there's a possibility that there'll be a sreifa and the merchandise will get burnt and he won't go ahead and save it because he has his money already. So we were saying that you only can be koine with mashicha when the buyer takes possession of the item. So just like by lekuchos, is the concept of tiknu mashicha, this mashicha kach tiknu mashicha b'shoimim, that shmira only consummates through a mashicha. If I want you to watch my para, my animal, you have to make a mashicha, and that's when the shmira starts, and that's really the basis behind the Gemara, the Mishnah that we just mentioned on Daf Tzadik Chesam Beis, where different shlichim are doing this ma'isa kinyan of mashicha, and the Gemara discusses if you need to do mashicha in Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos has an opinion about that, but we're just going to uncover what exactly are we talking about. Now, every shmira, there's different elements to shmira. We know there's four dalet shoyim, shoyim mechinim, shoyim soicher, soicher and shoyel. Soicher and a shoyel really is a two-way relationship. A soicher especially. In other words, just like the mosque, the soicher would like to rent, the mosque many times would like to rent it out because he's getting paid for it. So it's a two-way deal. It's not a one-sided benefit. A shoyel is a one-sided benefit. So the question here is, let's discuss three different elements of shmira and where exactly is this takona of mashicha, which means that once a person makes a mashicha, there's a kinyan and one cannot back out. But before the mashicha, one would possibly be able to back out of their commitment one way or another. So, Tosfos, on the bottom of this Amud of Tzadik Tesla Beis, Divrei HaMaskil Kach, Tosfos maintains that really, when we talk about Mashicha B'Shoimrim, that there's a kinyan, this kinyan really is not with regards to the chiyuvim, the obligations of the shoim. Let's discuss three different protim that happen with every shmira arrangement. When a person accepts upon himself to watch, so he's actually, first of all, accepting on himself to do the actual maisa shmira, to work, let's say, a shomer sachar. He's getting paid. He gets paid as a watchman, and he agrees to watch. And he's similar to any worker, any poyel, that I agree to work for you for a certain wage, and I get paid to watch, and I have an obligation to watch. So that's one thing. There's the chi of shmir. A second prat in this relationship is the obligation of payment if something happens. Like by Hashem Echinom, he's poisheya. He's negligent, and it gets destroyed, it gets lost or stolen through his negligence. He has to pay. So one is the actual Maisa Shmira. The second part we're talking about here is the payment if something goes wrong. The third part would be the usage, which is really only Negea to Soicher and Shoyel, that they're entitled to use this item. They borrow it for a month. They make a kinyan that they're now able, we'll discuss throughout the parak, how this kinyan works and how what the duration is, etc. But there's an agreement that the mashil gives over the rights of usage to the soicher or to the shoyel. So that's a third concept, and then the fourth concept would be a soicher would be paying for that usage, or a shem soicher has to pay the soicher to watch. So there's payment going on here as well. So one is the chiyuv shmira. Number two is the obligation to compensate for loss that happens according to its own halachas of davar shomer. A second is the rights of usage, and the third concept is the rights of usage, and the fourth concept that we're talking about in hilchas shomerim is the obligation to pay either for the rental or to pay the shomer sachar for watching. So Tosfos says that this concept of the Mashicha is not referring to, it's not talking about the Chi of Oinsim. It's really only talking about Shoyal and Soicher, and it's talking about the obligation, the rights to use. It's not really relevant by a Shoymes Chinam or a Shoymes Socher, because they have no rights to use it. Tosfos maintains that this Gemara is talking about somebody who's renting something or borrowing something, where the Bailam give over the rights of usage to the Shoyal, to the Soicher, either with or without payment. So once the Shoyal makes a kinyan, or the Soicher takes possession of the item, that's where the Mashiel cannot back out. Let's say they make up that they're going to use that, I'm going to rent it to you or lend it to you for a month. So until he takes possession, the Mashiel, the owner, could renege and could decide that he's not lending it to him, or not renting it to him. Once there's a kinyan, that's where it says, Tiknu Mashicha B'Shoimim, says Tosfos, it's talking about the rights of usage. However, With regards to the regular shmirah, the obligations of the shmirah, the obligation to watch, that is not being referred to in this Gemara of Mashicha. Now, Pi Pashtus, this would really be a two-way obligation. Just like the Mashil is obligated to produce and to give over the para for the entire duration of the she'ela. So the shoyal also has to keep the para for, the seicher also, let's say, has to keep the rental and pay for the rental for the entire month, even if he wants to undo it. He decides after 15 days that he's had enough. He's obligated because he made a mashicha. So it's really a two-way obligation. Now, it's questionable whether this applies to the shoyal as well. By a seicher, so each one is to benefit. The maskir is getting money, is getting paid, and the seicher is getting the rental. So I'm meshubet to you, you're meshubet to me. Through mashicha, the entire deal is chal, it's consummated, and no one can back out. I have to pay you for the entire month, and you have to allow me to use it for the entire month, and I can't kick you out of the apartment, or I can't take back my para, and you have to pay, even if you don't want to, for the entire month. But a shoyal, it's really not so simple. The Mukhi Yosef brings some that say that by a shoyal, that the entire benefit belongs to the shoyal. It's l'toivosoi. Really, the shoyal didn't obligate anything. He's just getting the benevolence. He's getting the usage for a month. Let's say he wants to give it back after a month. So some Rishonim say that since he's not really gaining anything, so he's not really acquiring, he's not really being meshabed himself. The mashal, the owner, is obligating himself to give it for the entire month. But the shoyal, the one who's taking possession, he's really not. The whole thing is lahana also. It's not really benefiting the mashal at all. So therefore, he never committed to anything because he's not really committing to any hischayvus. He's not committing to give anything, to any consideration. And therefore, if he wants to give it back, by a shoyal, if he wants to give it back in middle, even after a mashicha, according to his Rishonim, he would be able to. However, the Ra'ah says that even though really he's not benefiting from it, but l'maisa, the chayvitz is in his reshus and it's being watched by him. He's taking a chrayis for it, so that is some type of benefit, which is something that we discussed earlier in the parak on the first Amud Beis that the Gemara discusses. Kol anoshaloi, roiv anoshaloi, that really a shoyal gets all the benefit, but the mashiel, the owner, is also benefiting somewhat because he's getting his parah is being fed and his parah is being protected. So even though that's just a fallout, it's really a derivative of the arrangement, it's not the ik arrangement, but there we have a machlokes rishonim, if this mashicha would obligate the shoyal to keep the she'ela for 30 days. Like a nafka min la'alocha, let's say the guy went away and he understood that I'm lending my para to my friend, and you know, now the guy wants to bring it back in middle, and he's not in the mood of taking it back, he can't take it back, he doesn't want to take possession of it, he's doing construction or whatever it is. The shoyal says, I want to return it. So do we have a kinyan mashicha that allows the mashil, the owner, to tell the shayel, don't worry about it. It tells the shayel, I'm not taking it back. You must keep it for 30 days or not. We have there machlekes brought down in the Muki Yosef between the Ra'oh and the Muki Yosef. Another pshat is the Ravid and the Ritva say that this mashicha business is really relevant to all shayimim, not only shayel and tzorecha with regards to the usage, but it's also with regards to saying, I don't want to watch it anymore. So if there's a mashicha, he can say, I don't want to watch your chayfetz anymore. But if not. And the Rishonim asked that we know there's a halacha of poyel yochel lachso by the emtza hamalacha. But let's say I start working for you, and then I want to quit in the middle. So there are financial responsibilities if you can't get another worker, or other reasons. There's a halacha that appoils yodoy al tachtoino, sometimes by a kabbalist yodoy al ha'elyoino. How much he gets paid if he accepts a full job and only does half of it? He'll get either half or a little bit more than half or less than half, depending on how much it costs the guy to finish the job. A lot of intricate halachas. But the bottom line is, we learned again earlier in the Masechta, in the Yud Amid Aleph, the Gemara says that apol yochel lachso be'emtzo hamalacha be'emtzo avoido. We learn that from the pasuk of Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim avodim ha'ivim lo avodim la avodim, that since we're the avodim of Hashem and not the avodim of any ever of Hashem, any human being, a person can always stop employment at any time, unless it's a very solid kinyan that's brought down in the poiskim, the Chuvas Haritvo and Simen Shin Lamed Gimel in Choshen Mishpat. The Shach brings it down in the beginning of Simen Shin Lamed Gimel, that if you make a very clear kinyan, then there would be he would not be able to back out. But a regular employment situation, the pol yochel lachso be'emtzo avoido. So the question is, why over here by Shomer would there be a concept that if he did a mashicha, he wouldn't be able to back out? And the Rishonim explained, the Ktzois also brings it down in Simen Reish Sada Gimel Sifkot and Beis, that even though, yes, you're right, the actual work which we discussed, the actual pu'ula of watching the chayfetz, that in a chanami, one could, in the middle of his arrangement, yochel lachso be'emtzo malacha, that is true. However, the chiyuv achrayas, you obligate yourself that if it's going to be nignevo inevdo, or if you're going to be pesheya, and something happens to it, you're going to pay, that you can't back out of, because even though poil yochel lachso, a painter, if he's in the middle of his job, he can stop painting and say, I'll take half the wages and leave. But when it's a shomer, when you took the thing into your possession, you made him a mashicha, and you agreed not only to watch, but if anything were to happen, it would pay, that you can't get out of. This benevolent, this benefit that the owner has, that he has somebody watching his item and somebody taking responsibility, that if it's anything's going to happen to it, he's going to be able to ask him to pay for it, that is locked in with a mashichok, even according to says the Ravid in the Ritva, not like Tosfos, that this has relevance, it is no geya, even to a shemes chinam and a shemes socher, not only to a soicher and a shoyl. The Ran says that by a shemes socher, the mashichok would help, because the mashichok is like hascholas malacha by a poel, like we mentioned, that he's obligating himself to watch, not only to pay if it gets damaged, but to watch. And the Tzoyis and Simon Shin Zayin Sifkot and Aleph says that according to this shita of the Ran, that the reason why any mashicha, the mashicha starts the shmira, and through the mashicha the arrangement starts, and therefore you have a tikkun mashicha b'shechem not only on shoyel and shomer socher, like we brought down from Tosfos, and not only on the obligation to pay for damage if something happens to it, like the Ravid and the Ritva, but according to the Ran, mashicha would help also to obligate him to continue to actually watch, and it would raise it above the level of a poel yochel lachso be'emtzo malacha through the mashicha. That is a maisa kinyan, and the maisa kinyan allows him to continue and forces him to continue to even watch it. He can't give it up in the middle. He's mechuyev to continue to watch until the end of the time that they discussed and that they arranged previously, that he would watch it for that amount of time. Now, just one last nekuda that I would like to discuss. We mentioned a few minutes ago the memory of Elazar Kederech Shetiknu Meshicha Velokuchais Kach Tiknu Meshicha B'Shemir. And what's the halacha? So Rabbi Elazar says clearly, just like there's a takana that kesef, even though midaraisa mois koinais, like we mentioned, Rabbi Yechanan Shitis, and that's the halacha that midaraisa, a person could purchase metaltlin with a kinyan called kesef, like in the olden days, with tzarata kesef biyodoi, through kesef you could consummate and make a chalos kinyan through giving money. However, the Chachamim Mesakin, like we said earlier in Perek Azov, Shema Nisrufu Chatecha Ba'aliyah, there's a concept of maybe the merchandise will get destroyed and the seller, since he has the money, won't be on top of things and he won't go ahead and save the Chitim. So we're Mesakin that it shouldn't work. Kesef should not work, but rather a person needs to make a Meshicha. If he doesn't make a Meshicha, he's not Kainan, that's what Allah says, Alocha. Now the question is, what's the halacha with schirus? A person wants to rent something, rent a behemo, or rent, a gown or some type of clothing. So on the one hand, it is metaltlin. So it seems like from this gemara, kedera shetiknu meshicha, that kesef does not work. Kach tiknu meshicha. Now, which part of Shoyim? We discussed a few minutes ago, if this is talking about a Shoyol or Soicher, it's possibly talking about a Shoyim Echino, a Shoyim Esocha. But what happens by Schirus Karka? Now, by Schirus Karka, it's a very interesting thing. Even though it's by Schirus Metaltalin, even though it's movable and it's Metaltalin, and really, in essence, it seems like there should be the same Takana. But if we think about it, what's the Takana? Why is there a Takana that a Kesef can't work? Because of the concept of Shema Nisrufu Chitecha Ba'aliyah. If the seller is going to get paid before Meshicha, means the buyer has not taken possession. So now the seller has in his home the merchandise and the money. So he's protected with the money. He's not motivated to protect the merchandise. If the kinyan is chal and the merchandise now belongs to the buyer, By way of the fact that he's paid for it, so I'm really just what motivation do I have to risk my life or to inconvenience myself to save your wheat? It's your wheat. If it gets destroyed, you're going to be the one to lose out because it's yours. You bought it. The mechira is chal. So I have the money. I'm not worried you're not going to pay me. So I'm not motivated to save your wheat. Says the chachamim, no. Let's undo the kinyan. Tikna meshicha b'shemim, and let us say that. Kol's man, the wheat is still in the home of the seller. It's not the seller's. It's still the seller's. And if it gets lost, he has to return the money. So there, he'd be motivated to go ahead and sell and save the wheat, because if not, he's going to lose the money because the chachamim undid the kinyan and made the wheat belong to the seller instead of the buyer. Now, if we think about it, when there's a schirus, so let's say I pay you a kesef to rent your behemo. So the behemo is still in the owner's possession. I gave the owner money, I would like to rent the behemo for a month. I'm giving him $100 to rent the behemo for a month, or to rent whatever it is, or to rent the machinery for a month. I'm going to take the machinery, I'm coming in a day or two, I'm going to pick up the machinery and I'm going to take it home. So here, do we have the chashash that maybe the owner is not going to be motivated to sell to save the machinery? Of course he will. Of course he'll save the machinery because the machinery belongs to him. We made an arrangement that this guy's going to rent it for a month, but after the month, it's mine. So if it gets destroyed, I'm the one that's going to lose the rest of the usage. I'm going to lose the actual machinery. So of course the owner is going to be motivated to save it. So we don't have the same chashash of Shema Nisrufu Chatecha Ba'aliyah. And so, since we don't have that chashash, so really we shouldn't make this takana that you need a Meshicha. We can say that really the rental starts right now. And no one can back out, no one can renege on their agreement. And we're not worried that the owner is not going to save it because it's already rented out. Because you're right, it's rented out for a month. But if there's a Sreifa, he's going to be motivated to save it, because if he doesn't save it, he's going to lose the machinery for the entire time. So there's a machloikas rishonim. The Rashi and the Ran say that you're right. In Svara, you're right that there's no concept of nisra v'chadecha baliyah. But still, that since we said that that's one of the chedushim of Rabbi Elazar, kederah shetiknu b'lekuches kach tiknu mishomer by soicher as well. That you're right. There's no concept of shem nisrifu, but leplug, even in a place where it doesn't necessarily make sense. This takana, since we made a takana that kesef doesn't work, so it doesn't work even for schiris mekalvelin either. The Ramban and the Ran, however, disagree, and they're of the opinion that since the taka doesn't work, since there's no chashash of shem nisrifu, so the money would be a good way of renting, being soicher metaltlin, and once a person gives money, either side is bound, and they both cannot undo or renege their agreement, and therefore, it says, or Elazar says, is not talking about by a soicher metaltlin, it's only by a soicher karko or other rishonim. But by Seichel Metaltlin, there would be a Kenyan Kesef would be valid. That also would work and consummate the arrangement, and therefore Kesef would start the Schirus, and each party would be bound to their arrangement.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.